Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Glad you're with us here. Becky Brown is with me in the studio in our Indianapolis division, or Carmel, Indiana division of New Life here. And really glad that Becky's here. She's just been part of New Life. She's the heart of New Life. And Becky, you've never been addicted to anything, but you're active in recovery,
yes,
in your church. And tell us about that a little bit, how that is.
Well, I mean, you had a little bit of influence in that. Once I discovered the freedom that comes from working in a recovery program, I wanted to be all in.
Yeah.
And in my own story, I had a brother who was a heroin addict.
Hmm.
And so I grew up, he was 6 years older than me, but very much central to the family or a close family. And the chaos that comes from living or being in relationship with somebody who struggles with addiction makes an impact on your life.
Yeah.
And I don't think I recognized it when I was growing up because that's just what normal was. And I know that there are a lot of listeners out there that are living in a little bit of crazy because of someone who struggles with addiction. And what recovery did for me and what it continues to do for me is unlock those places that were really closed off to freedom. I wasn't aware of how much anxiety I had been living with that was impacting so many different parts that I couldn't even figure it out. I mean, and I'm pretty highly functional.
I would think so. Yeah, you are.
But I just want to encourage everybody who's listening, if you've never worked the steps, if you're curious about recovery, we've got a great conference coming up in a couple of weeks called the Life Recovery Conference, and you can attend online.
Yep.
And we got a bunch of great speakers. I mean,
12 Steps to Happier.
12
is
Steps
the name
to
of.
Happier. I mean, it only is 12 steps, right?
That is true.
A little few more than
character building steps that will transform your life. But they also will lead you to a reasonably happy life, mm-hmm, in this life and pretty unreasonably, amazingly happy life in the next life. So,
and don't you think, Steve, some of the benefit of working in recovery is clearing up any confusion that we have?
Totally.
Because we believe that life should all go our way, that nothing bad should ever happen. And then when we are confronted with hardships, we can know that it's the pathway to peace, that we can see how God's working in that.
Amen. All right, let's get on the phones here and talk to Bernie from Washington, D.C. WAVA is the station. Hi there, Bernie. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
Doing okay. What's going on in your life today? How could we help?
All right, well, listen, I'll give you my question right off the bat and then any background you need. How do I emotionally go about handling being falsely accused of child molestation?
And I mean, oh my goodness.
And what I mean by that also is I'm not asking, and I'm just kind of putting it this way, I'm not asking that how do I handle it when I am guilty and trying to lie about it. I actually am completely, this is a stunning, stunning accusation that came just Sunday, did this.
How old is the child?
Well, the child now is 14, but this harkens back to when he was 3 to 6. I was almost like his father. It was as a girlfriend, and I was not a girlfriend anymore, but she invited me into her life, and I met her son, and we hit it off, and I would watch him sometimes 3 weeks at a time on three different occasions, and I took care of them. Hmm. And we actually loved each other. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And but there were two. But then she told me.
All right, hold on. We'll get to it right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're just talking here with Bernie. Hey, Bernie, you've been accused of something that isn't true. Have you thought about polygraph? I know they're not totally reliable, all that kind of stuff, but would that be something that would help if you were willing to do it
I'll tell you where I'm at. I have not been officially charged, but I do have a lawyer already, and so I'll have to have him make that decision. I remember during the crazy conversation that I had with her on it, I said I'd be glad to take it, but it is completely untrue. It is so far-fetched. It's unbelievable. So I have not been officially charged. If I just may say, is a little crazy in my opinion, and I don't know how she's going to go about it. But I do have a lawyer.
Okay.
I got in touch with Sunday, and today or tomorrow, sometime this week, I'm going to hear from him about an approach.
Well,
about
let me ask you a question. So,
yes.
Since then, have you taken care of or been around any other?
You're cutting out a little bit there.
Since then, have you been around or taken care of any other young kids?
Not like that. No, children. You know, and I.
Why were you, what kind of around children? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, just in a normal way, you know, with friends and family. I have not been around children in any kind of way like that, no.
So you haven't been taken care of or alone with kids, but you've been around kids that other friends have, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, and I've babysat some kids, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, and that were older, you know, because this happened with him.
Why would you be babysitting older kids?
Well, I have some friends that I'm really good with, and I can think of one family where they got kids that were probably at the time 16, 14, 12, yeah. 9, and they would go away for an hour or so, and I would come up, go over, and just sit in the house, make sure everything didn't blow up and that kind of thing.
So are you single? Are you married? What's the deal?
I'm divorced.
Okay.
61 years old.
Okay. Well, you know, I was hoping that you would say, no, I've never babysat, never been alone with young kids since him, because that would really be evidence that this isn't a big part of your life, and you know, there wouldn't be other situations. But I outside of a polygraph, I don't know of any kind of defense that you can have. Because see, a lot of people don't ever take care of anybody's kids alone, and one of the reasons is this. That they don't know the person well enough, and something could come up, and then you get accused of something. But maybe Becky's got a different perspective here, a different idea. What are you thinking, Becky?
Well, Bernie, I'm sorry that this is so stressful for you. I can sense it in your voice, and along with getting a lawyer, which I think is a good idea, have you spoken with a therapist at all to just kind of figure out what happened in that relationship?
For what reason?
Pardon me?
I'm sorry,
what'd you say?
Cutting out there.
Okay, it might be your connection. But here's the thing that I want. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No.
The thing that I want you to hear most of all is the more you protest, it just raises flags, you know. What I want you to do instead is figure out what happened in that relationship that she would turn on you in this way. And to be above reproach on every level is very important as you go through this. I'm not sure why she would accuse you at this time or he would accuse you at this time. Did she give you any reason for this?
Well, I'll give you a real quick, and you let me know if I'm being too descriptive. She called me Sunday. The boy is now 14 or 15.
Got that.
And he saw something on TV that had something to do with Vaseline, and it triggered him. He said, "Oh, I remember Mr. Marty playing with my butt." Now, what that references is when he was about four, he was walking around scratching himself back there, and he wouldn't stop. And I said, "Joshua, what's wrong?" Now, I don't know. So I called the mother, who is on tour. She's away for 3 weeks. I said, "Listen, so-and-so has got this going on with him. What do I do?" And she goes, well, take a look at it. So I take a look at the area. There's a little rash there. And I go, "Well, what am I supposed to do? I see something." She goes, "Put some stuff on it." And I found the only thing I had was Vaseline. I put a little bit on there. And then I remember doing it once more, and then I remember him doing it himself. I said, "Now you do it yourself from now on."
Okay,
and it took care of the problem.
So here's the bottom line: you called. I think that you've heard two things. One, good job, or you've heard three things. Good job of getting the attorney. Second thing that I think you've heard is. Polygraph to get this cleared up, it might help. Third thing, therapist. To get a therapist and to, you know, I would just deal in that way. I would try to get any kind of therapist I could to come along and give me some third party advice there. So, yeah, that's it. And I wish we had a better connection and more time. But oh my goodness, it's a great cautionary tale to anybody. You really have to be careful. When it comes to younger kids and whether or not the parent, you could trust them. I just, in this day and age, I would try to avoid being alone with a child.
Unless you're a qualified caregiver. I mean, there's so many variables there, but, you know, we're just going to hope that, you know, the best turns out for everybody in that situation.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Martha, Fargo, North Dakota. Very famous. Sirius XM is where you listen. Hi, how are you today?
I am well, thank you. How about you?
Doing okay. How could we help today? We would love to, if we could.
I'd love for you to. I have a son who is recently divorced, and he did not want the divorce. He did everything within his power to prevent it, but nonetheless, it went forward. So that's pretty new. He right now is grieving greatly with his divorce. Mm-hmm. He has a daughter who is 6 years old, and where my concern lies is that the daughter has verbalized that she wants to be a boy. I have not said anything to my son because I don't want to add to his heartache with what he's already dealing with. So I just need input and guidance on how I can proceed with this. Do I have a conversation with her? Are there books that we could read together?
I think you would want to know if it was your child, no matter what you were going through. So I think you need to sit down with him and tell him what she came to you with or what you're aware of. Becky, your thoughts here.
I'm still thinking about what you always say about that sexual development. That she said this to you. Martha, do you watch her? Are you taking care of her? Or what's the connection there?
Yes. I mean, from time to time. No, not. I mean, we were just out and about running errands and things like that together. And I also had my other granddaughter with me who's a little bit older. And she was looking at some pictures. And I don't even know what she was looking at. And apparently the picture she looked at was, I think, of some famous gentleman that behaves like a female. So
okay.
Then that's what my younger granddaughter said.
Okay.
And I didn't pursue it.
Which is fine because she's six. And, exactly. You know, Steve, why don't you talk about what you say or what you told your kids? You know, that there's going to be times.
Yeah, I mean, I sat them down at the right time and said, hey, you're going into a phase of life where one day you feel like you're more like a boy than a girl, and one day you feel more like a girl than a boy. One day you want to play with all the boys. Next day you want to just play with the girls. And it goes back and forth, and I just want you to know it's normal. And anybody telling you that if you're a boy and you feel like you want to be a girl one day, that that's means you need to go be a girl, that's wrong. And if you're a girl and then you want to be a boy one day, anybody telling you, well, you need to go with that, you need to act on those feelings, that isn't accurate. So, you know, at one point, one of the kids said, that's the best conversation you had with me, because they went through that phase. So I really encourage somebody to, well, first of all, what I would do, I immediately would go into family therapy. I'd have the whole family okay. sitting in front of a family therapist. I wouldn't make the child the target of that. It would be the family. And I would see what could come out of that that would perhaps start a new connection or repair a difficult one. Or whatever.
Well, so, and my take on that too, Martha, is that if this is the only time that she said that, the family therapy could be about just the changes in the family structure.
Yes.
And I would say the picture that she's looking at, it was probably a drag queen or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it
so they're,
been. I don't know. I didn't
right.
know.
Well, they're pretty, it's pretty powerful imagery. And so that's right. another conversation about what you see on media of all forms, you know, that there's more to it than just the picture. So I think there's lots of opportunity to really connect with her and to have the whole family connect. But, and just to reiterate, I think the first person you talk to is her dad. And okay. just say, hey, we're not sounding off the alarm, but, we want to deal with this. We don't want this to go unchecked.
Okay.
Understood. Okay.
All right.
Can I ask another piece of this as well? I have a sister who is living the gay lifestyle. My other sister has a grandson who wants to be a female. Is there genetics with this, or is it just influences from, as you say, the media, et cetera? I mean, because there is some, you know, background here with family, and, you know, a lot of other family members are dealing with the same kind of thing. Is this genetic?
Well, let me tell you my opinion, having dealt with this in my own family, and then dealing with it with New Life, which is now in existence almost 32 years, but even before that. So here's my thought is that there is a predisposition, but it's not a genetic predisposition. It's a predisposition to rejection and then compounded by a lack of deep connection with a loving, mature, healthy parent. Here's what I mean. I think these kids, they hear about a stereotype for their gender. Then they don't fit that stereotype. Or they talk differently, look different. They're interested in different things than most kids their age. And they feel like an outcast. They feel rejected. And they have no solid adult person, parent, to go to and share that with. Then somebody comes along and says, well, hey, if that's how you feel, if this is what you're going to, you need to do this. And they go with what the other person says or exposes them to or subjects them to. That's what I think happens. I just don't think that over time we would have more gender confusion today than ever before, but I think we have more people acting on it at a stage where it is quite common. And with a lack of deep connection with a parent, you don't have anyone to kind of balance out the amazing secular influences of our day. That's my opinion.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. I'll send a copy of How We Love Our Kids. Becky, you have a comment about that?
It's just it's a tough day to raise children or grandchildren. But boy, we have some great influence, and our children can be the hope of the next generation. So I'm so glad that Martha has, you know, that relationship with her granddaughter, and just we'll be praying for wisdom and discernment on how to go forward.
Don't give up. That's right. The main thing. Don't right. give up. We've never given up on Larry. Larry's in the studio. Larry, how are you doing
there
today?
There he is.
Doing good. Thank you very much. You know, we've talked a lot about Club New Life and still talk about it. It's a great way for folks to support the ministry.
Before you talk about Club New Life, you'll need to mute your connection there, because we can't do it here. I want people to hear exactly what you're saying there. And so,
try that again. Is that better?
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
Anyway, Club New Life. If it wasn't for Club New Life through this COVID thing, we would really be in a world of hurt. We're still a little bit of a world of hurt, but not too serious. But we need your help. And I got a note from a Club New Life member. She says, "I've been a Club member for a long, long time. I have a Listen to the Boys mug.
I used yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah. I've learned how to get the real issue by asking the right questions just by listening to the host. They're so good at it. This has helped me in so much as a Bible teacher, a mother, a grandmother, and now a great-grandmother.
Wow.
I've been mentoring and I'll continue to mentor a young woman through a heartbreaking divorce. I couldn't do it without you." And then her final comment, she goes on, but the final comment, she says, "We've also been to Alaska, Israel, and Ireland with New Life. New Life listeners are the best people to travel with."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's two things in this I wanted to talk about. One is Club New Life. Folks, if you can get behind that, $30 a month or more, it's automatic. Every month, make a gift. And we'll send you some things from time to time just to keep you encouraged and to say mm-hmm. thank you. The other thing is the traveling. We are going on our next trip, assuming that COVID is under control and we can get back on a boat. We're going to go from Amsterdam to Basel, Switzerland on a river cruise, the Rhine River. And if you want to have a good time and if you want to hear some new things and some learn some things from Steve and Milo Jurkovic, this will be a trip for you. But give us a call. Help us with Club New Life. Thank you, everybody who is supporting New Life. It's making a difference. We see that or we wouldn't be here. We just mm-hmm. want to continue doing what we're doing.
And we'll be picking fresh basil or basil all along the riverfront there. It's going to be a great time. And, you know, if you've never gone on a New Life trip, if you can go, they're very, very special. We love getting to know our people deeply. If you can support us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need any kind of help, call. We'll send you a copy of the 12 Gifts of Life Recovery. It's this series that I have gone through on, you can see it on Facebook Live, 12 Gifts of Life Recovery. It's our way of saying thank you for supporting this ministry. And thank you, Larry, for all you do for this ministry.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to, we go to Helen, Pomona, California. KKLA is the station. Hello, Helen. How are you?
Oh, thank you. I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And so my question, I heard you guys start with the issues of addiction, and I have been struggling with the one that seems to stick with me is the addiction of nicotine. And last week I heard Dr. Amen talking, and I couldn't get my question in when it was fresh and formed. I've struggled with it for over 25 years, and it happened after my mother actually passed from emphysema at the age I am now, 64. And I don't know after hearing Dr. Amen. Is it a chemical, something with the brain, or is it my, I've been, you know, is it just my resistance, rebellion to God? And I don't know where else to start. I've taken behavioral modification classes and smoking cessation classes, and yet this thing still sticks on me. So at what point do I say, wait, maybe there's a chemical thing going on within my brain or lack of something?
Well, there is a chemical thing going on in your brain, and it's because nicotine is so addictive, and some people say it's the most addictive chemical that anybody's using this day and age. Maybe fentanyl has surpassed that. But I got to tell you, Helen, I used to smoke, and I quit a few hundred times, like Mark Twain. And I finally had to. It was interesting. I took a blood pressure medication. A physician suggested this, that this blood pressure medication would lower the craving. I took it.
Really?
It lowered the craving. And then I made a commitment to never touch a package of cigarettes again, to never put a cigarette in my mouth again, and to never light a cigarette. And I have not done any of those things. There was a pack of cigarettes in my car. I went and got ice tongs. Somebody left it, fell out of their pocket. Ice tongs, and I removed it and threw it away. So I had a three-prong quit, not just smoking, but having anything to do with those products. But I do think you could ask a physician, give me whatever medication would help me the most. Then you need to have support in a smoking cessation program. I used to operate a program called Smoke Enders. I don't even know if it still exists today, but that'd be something to look at. But you're going to need help, especially if you've tried this many times. You have to do something different now. We'll take a break and come right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Another great thing to do when you are struggling with any kind of addiction, I'm going to do this for Helen. Send her a Life Recovery Bible and the workbook. You work the 12 steps over the cigarette addiction. You can do it. It works for anything, and you don't even need to have an addiction for it to work. It's a character-building program. That's what I would do. Let's go to Lydia. Lydia's calling us from Fredericksburg. And she listens to WAVA. How you doing, Lydia? What's going on with you?
Hey, thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yeah. How you doing?
Okay, great.
How you doing?
I'm good. I want to try to keep this as short as possible. I just need advice. My son is 19. He hates my guts because, you know, what child doesn't right now? But anyways, he just has a one-month-old baby. And I've been trying to help them because neither one of them are working, and they live together with my ex. And he is completely abusive. I tried to bring him over to the house to let him stay for the weekend, and it ended with him just laying me out, like threatening to like smack me, calling me a whole lot of words I won't say on air. And it's been 2 weeks since I've talked to him. He said I was never going to see them or their little baby. That's like a month old. But his girlfriend keeps messaging me, and I'm there to support her. I, you know, appreciate her. she's asking me for money for diapers. She has another daughter who's two, and therefore she needs diapers for her too.
Or okay, so what's the question for us then? I think we get it. Your immature, angry son is living with your...
with a girlfriend.
Girlfriend with your ex. And what does your ex have to say about all of this?
Okay, the reason that my son hates me is because of him. Because I broke up with him a long time ago. He couldn't get over it in the end. So so they don't get along at all. So he gives him absolutely, like, minimal support whatsoever. They live in his basement, but that's about it.
Okay. So you're wanting to know...
Should I continue to, like, give... I've been, you know, cash-apping her money and, like, shipping her diapers and shipping her formula because I'm afraid of what's going to happen to the baby since they're not working, and I'm afraid that they're not getting, you know, the kid is not going to eat. But I don't feel as though I need to take this abuse. So my current, you know, significant other, he is like, you need to stop helping because... he doesn't respect you, and he obviously, like, look what he did to you again. But me, I'm like, oh, my goodness, how can I say no? So I'm like, what should I do?
So, Lydia, here's the thing. Everybody's got a big, big echo here. Is that from her?
I don't know.
Okay.
If we're on a speakerphone, you need to take us off that speakerphone there.
Okay, but, sorry about that. I did take it off.
Thank you.
The challenge here is, while it is true that you don't want to perpetuate the helplessness that you're seeing, it sounds to me like there's a bigger problem here. There's some restructuring of the family that probably needs to happen. Like, for example, your son probably needs to get a job, but that's not going to be for you to tell him. And there are other social services that they can access for formula and diapers and for support that way. But the bigger thing is, if he's mad at you and you guys have this real violent kind of connection, the first thing has to be where you get into a non-reactive mode with him. Because every time he brings something up, you react to that, then he reacts, and then it's all kinds of crazy. But, you know, there sounds like there's a lot of drama that's going on. Is that right, Lydia?
Well, he lives like an hour away.
Okay.
So I don't have, like, day-to-day interaction with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's not my drama. That's their drama.
Okay.
And so,
go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, so my just thing is that, you know, basically him just saying that he's going to, I can't see the kid anymore already, and the baby's only a month old, and he's acting out towards me, even though I don't acknowledge him. I have to just laugh. I just kind of, like, laugh because I'm like, wow, you're like a two-year-old having a temper tantrum.
Well, but Lydia, even that response is demeaning to him. And so there's got to be a level of adult reaction that starts somewhere. And so
basically, like, let me tell you what happened. I invited him over for the weekend. He got upset about a phone call and took it out on me. So the next morning I was like, let's go. I'm going to take you guys back home an hour away. So I got him in the car. But before we even got to the car, he was cussing me out, calling me an SAB.
Right.
He's going to slap me. And I just got in the car. I just told his girlfriend.
Right.
I was like, let's go.
Okay.
It was him, his girlfriend, and
right.
his kid.
So, like, so you called Lydia. Lydia, you wanted some advice.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, there is immaturity all over this, inappropriateness, and everybody, including you, everybody is reacting to everybody else. And so when you are able to stop reacting to him and putting people in the cars and all this stuff, when you can start responding to him, and I've got a book that'll help you with it, Take Your Life Back, then some kind of sense can be made of this. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think you ought to do. I think there's about zero chance of this succeeding. Or maybe even you do it, but here's what I think you ought to do. You You say to the his wife, your daughter-in-law, or his girlfriend, the mother of the baby, I am doing things for you because I care about this baby, right?
Right.
Okay.
I told her that.
So I would like to enter into an informal contract with you. I'm going to continue to do this for the baby, but within 14 days, I'm expecting you to do something for me. I'm expecting that you will find a way to talk to your boyfriend, my son, and his father, if you need to, my ex. And the goal would be that within 14 days, I get to see my grandbaby. So if you're able to do this, and you might remind her, she might be so immature she needs to hear this. I don't think that this is going to succeed if you tell them that we had this conversation and this is what I want and this is what I'll do. But I do think if you're mature enough to keep this to yourself and work toward an outcome that I think will help the baby. One, I'm going to send this support for the baby. And two, a baby needs a grandmother, if at all possible. It benefits them. It's another set of eyeballs. It's total unconditional love. And you will benefit from me loving my grandchild for the rest of my grandchild's life. That's what I would do. I wouldn't be talking to my ex. I wouldn't be talking to my son. I would just be talking to her. And here's the kicker. If she doesn't agree, quit sending them anything.
Okay.
And perhaps once you've said this to her, when the support ends and nothing's different, she might follow what you asked her to do to get the support to come back, and then you get what you want and what would be good for the baby. Your involvement with the baby is really great. That would be great. In the meantime, I want you to read Take Your Life Back, because you are reacting. You're reacting. Okay. Well, you're reacting to your.
I've got how we love our kids. I know I'm not perfect.
You're reacting.
I think maybe you're reacting.
Hello. Hey, you're reacting just like he's reacting. And you don't get what you want when you react to an immature person. You have to rise above it. You have to be able to respond, not react. And I think what you want, I mean, it looks like to me right now at this stage, the relationship with your son has no potential of getting better right now, maybe later when he matures. So what you want is the baby and having access and help for this grandchild. So that's my best take.
I think, and Lydia, we hear you. It is a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the greatest things each of us could do is get a vision of what we want our life to be like, as opposed to what's happening here. I don't want that. I don't want to have all this drama, and so we have to look for ways that we can become better and better at doing our life. That way, we're not triggered and not reactive to the people who are out of control around us.
And when you say, I don't want this drama, and you're on a stage holding a script, it doesn't have credibility.
So
there's only one way to stop drama. It's not to be dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
It's to withdraw from the drama.
Get off the stage.
Get off the stage. We'll take a break. We'll come right back for more New Life Live. Glad you're with us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call. If you need some help, we would love to help you. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to Kim. Let's see what Kim has to say here. Hi, Kim. How are you today?
Is this Kim from Denver?
Kim from Denver.
Hi, Kim from Denver.
Yes.
How you doing?
Okay. Oh, thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I love your ministry. I'm a Club New Life member.
Thank you.
I love your wisdom.
You.
And Oh, love how you guys can get to the bottom of an issue in no time, it seems like. And my question is, how can my husband and I help our son, who is struggling with sexual intimacy issues in his marriage? I mean, he says he loves her. I believe he truly does. He's just not physically attractive to her.
Yeah. Attracted to her, or she's not attracted to him, or he's not attracted to her?
He's not attracted to her.
Okay.
I mean, she's a beautiful lady inside and out. He says, I know pornography is not an issue. Uh-huh. We had dinner last week. Anyway, my daughter-in-law first brought this up to me about a year and a half ago, and we talked.
Okay.
And she wanted to know about our sex life, thinking that it might be something hereditary. When she learned that it wasn't, I think that even made her feel worse. She feels neglected and unwanted and unloved. She said she noticed a big difference in our son a couple years ago. They have three children, married 13 years.
Yeah.
Their youngest is a special needs child who, and that's when she noticed a big change in him.
Okay.
When our youngest grandson started having all, yes?
Okay. First of all, wow, that the daughter-in-law would come to you. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That she sees you as a safe person. And you're accessible. Second thing, special needs child. The dream, the fantasy, the idealized life ends with a special needs child. So if I was your son's therapist, I would say, okay, so we're going to go through a grieving process. And he would say, I haven't lost anything. Yeah, you have. You've lost what you thought your life was going to be like. And this special needs child will bring great blessings one day, but in the meantime, it may sap you of every ounce of energy, and it can really be a strain. But eventually, it's going to be a great blessing. Then I would tell him, now, and this sexual attraction thing, sometimes the strain of something new, strain of special needs child, the strain of COVID virus, strain of a death, whatever, sometimes will cause an imbalance of hormones. So you need to go to the doctor and you need to say, I've lost my sexual drive. Would you check to see if, there's any kind of testosterone deficiency or something like that? And so then he would do that. And then the fourth thing is you have to get both of them to go to the Intimacy and Marriage Intensive in October, because that will help him see himself and her in different ways. We've seen people that literally have been asexual for a decade come back and have a meaningful, intimate relationship. So I'm not overselling this. It really can have profound effect. I'm going to send you the Mediterranean Love Plan, which will help him connect with her in some fun ways. And then the last chapter is on sexual intimacy, but there are seven different secrets, and the first six are all about different ways of connecting. But there's great hope here. It's just he's going to have to be willing to talk to some people. Becky, your thoughts?
Well, I just think, as Steve says all of that, Kim, what are you hearing?
Yes, I agree with all of that. He has been tested for low testosterone. He does not have that. And actually my daughter-in-law said he's kind of had a low sex drive their whole marriage, but
okay.
I do know our grandson plays a big issue in this.
Well, and how many times do they get away on their own?
Yes. They take a lot of nice vacations, but they're always with friends or her family. They have a lot of money. You're right. They don't usually just go away by themselves.
Right. So, interesting? It's the same thing what Steve just said. I'm not going to repeat all of it. But, marriage can be stressful with three children. On top of that, having one with special needs.
Yeah, absolutely.
On top of that, just they're in the middle years. And you don't want to give up in the middle. You want to do what you can.
That's what I told them.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. And they're already talking about divorce. They've been separated 6 months, already talking about divorce.
Okay.
They said, you guys haven't even really tried. And that's the only time he got defensive and got kind of angry. He said, we have tried for 10 years.
Yeah, well,
you've tried in your own strength. You've not tried professionally. I keep pushing, you're right, your intimacy in marriage weekend. I'm hoping and praying they'll go to that. I think he thinks it's just going to be, yeah, it'll be a great weekend away. It'd be encouraging for a week, and we'll pray a lot, but, you know, nothing will change. Well, I know it would make a big difference if I can just get them to go. But
one thing, I'm just kind of curious about his resistance. I mean, I know you said that there's no pornography, but that sends up some flags for me where he's just like, I'm done. I don't want to deal with this, because I don't think that that's what you're saying your daughter-in-law is saying. Is that right?
My daughter-in-law, well, I haven't even talked to her about the intimacy and marriage weekend.
No, I mean, I'm talking about the divorce.
Whether or not there's some kind of pornography at play here would be an issue.
Yeah, I don't think there is at all. I did not point blank ask him, but she's never mentioned that, and he hasn't. When he told us, he said, I'm not gay, I was not molested as a child, I just, you know, I'm just not physically attractive to, I don't know. They don't.
Well,
my,
you know,
he feels like he never really measured up to her. I mean, she was a great catch, but so was he. You know?
Well, the good thing is marriage is more than just sex.
Yeah.
And so we want to heal the relationship in a way that they can raise their family together and be supportive and enjoy life together. And then he can deal with that sexual part in a connected way as opposed to what's been happening.
And,
so
yeah. And then finally, if I was talking with him, I would say to him, I want to explore something with you. And because your wife is attractive and you guys fell in love and all this. But I would want to explore with you as your clinician, your therapist, any type of residual anger that you have toward women, which would probably be at the source, mommy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just talking to one of my kids about your job is to always to get over your mother.
Heard me say, I'll pay for therapy my kids because I was their mother.
But you could have a great mother, and it's still your job to get over mother because
it's not one thing.
Yeah,
it's your mother.
Yeah, and so it really is. Right. You know, Dave Stoop, when he's on, he talks about it's always the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is some truth to that, and if you don't deal with the idealized mother or the disappointing mother or the just the normal mom, you could end up ruining your life because you're angry, nobody's like her, whatever. So I think he needs to probably deal with some...
Well, and we're not saying that you're a bad
Kim.
We're glad that you're calling.
No, absolutely not. I think she's a great mom, obviously, because she's aware of this issue.
Well, and that they came to her.
They're all talking.
To her,
so that's good. But still, you know, people develop these things, anger, bitterness, for any kind of reason. But I'm really glad that you called. I'll send you this Mediterranean Love Plan, and you can give it to them. I hope and pray you can get them to the Intimacy and Marriage Intensive. It's coming right up, everybody. You can sign up for it.
Yeah, and it's online, so it's more accessible than ever before.
Hey, thanks for all your support. Thank you, Becky, for being here. We love you. Pray for us. We pray for you.
Yes.
We really do. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.